Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Gadgets, gadgets, more gadgets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This week, you'll be hearing a lot about gadgets. GPS devices, mobile phones, wireless TV, and on and on. The Consumer Electronics Show gets underway in Las Vegas. Last night, Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates gave his traditional keynote speech. He predicted a second digital decade, one in which all of our devices will be connected. It was Gates' last CES keynote as Microsoft chairman. He'll be shrinking his role this year to focus on philanthropy. U.S. passports have gone high-tech recently. They have chips embedded in them for better security and getting through lines faster. Mexico is also trying something similar. From our America's desk at WLRN, here's Dan Gretsch.
While the immigration debate roils in the U.S., Mexico has its own border problem at its southern frontier. The 200-plus crossings into Belize and Guatemala are plagued with falsified documents, corrupt border guards, and illegal immigrants. So Mexico's come up with a high-tech solution, an electronic identity card.
This is part of their program of trying to regularize with a database the people that are crossing the border. I think it's a very good step.
That's Lee Tabluski, director of Project Mexico at the Institute of the Americas. He says right now tourists and guest workers use a pase local, or local entry card.
People call these cards Mickey Mouse cards. They look bad. You can tell immediately that they're false, and they're all over the place. And this is an attempt with a chip to reduce or eliminate that kind of fraud.
The new electronic cards will be issued starting in March. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The polar bear could go on the U.S. government's endangered species list this week, and that could have some business implications. Danielle Carson reports from Washington.
Environmentalists say the designation can help reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Andrew Wetzler is with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Protecting the polar bear will be an enormous step forward towards saving the polar bear and will be an extraordinarily important recognition of the effect that global warming is having on the Arctic.
Once a species is declared endangered, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service develops a roadmap to protect it, says spokeswoman Valerie Fellows.
And there will be goals associated with that timeline and how we measure success.
Fellows wouldn't say whether government could use the endangered designation to mandate a cut in emissions, but the NRDC's Wetzler says federal agencies have to run safety checks on all permits.
Not only is that going to be activities such as oil and gas drilling or industrialization in the Arctic, but will also embrace federal actions that are exacerbating global warming.
The Endangered Species Act rarely stops projects, but does call on agencies to take common sense measures to protect wildlife. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Siemens. From strengthened urban infrastructures to sustainable environmental solutions to advanced healthcare technology, Siemens' 70,000 U.S. employees are providing solutions for America. And by Constellation Energy, working to provide responsible, sustainable energy to power America's future. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Wall Street has started the year digging itself a hole. The Dow begins this week well below 13,000. It lost 500 points last week. The S&P 500 is at 1411 after losing more than 4% in the first week of the year. The Nasdaq's at 2504. Things only got worse in Asia today. Stocks slid more than 2%. European shares are actually up a fraction. Last year wasn't the best year for the stock market. The S&P 500 stocks gave investors half their historical returns.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan has been perusing the numbers from 2007, and he found these trends. Growth stocks did better than value stocks for the first time in a while. Big companies outperformed smaller ones for the first time in a while, and foreign stocks pummeled U.S. stocks. Okay, Alan, let's break this down. Why did growth stocks do better than value?
All right, one reason is that value stocks were doing terribly. A lot of them are the financial stocks, and the financial stocks got clobbered, and for good reason, as we know, because of all the problems in the debt market. And growth is technology, and technology, largely technology, and technology did very well.
Now, what about the trend with small companies versus big companies?
Normally, small companies trade for less than big companies compared to earnings and the stated value. But over the past few years, as people like me sat there with what they call small caps, things got out of whack. And the small caps, in many ways, at the beginning of last year, were trading for higher ratios than the mid caps or the bigger things. And life has reasserted itself as it always does. And everything that had been true in previous years had all reversed.
And does that include foreign stocks versus U.S. stocks?
No. Foreign stocks have been doing better for quite a while against U.S. stocks. And foreign is, I mean, so much better. It's a combination of the companies doing better and the dollar weakening. Because if you're investing in companies that keep books in currencies other than the dollar, every time the dollar drops, they do better in dollar terms than a company like a U.S. company that keeps scoring dollars.
So, Alan, based on what you've said, what you've discovered about the trends of last year, how does that affect your investing for 2008?
What I'm probably going to do, hating myself every minute, is I'm going to switch probably even more money from U.S. stock funds into foreign stock funds. I've already cut back a lot on my small cap funds, and I'm just going to hope that things work out. But boy, they sure didn't work out last year. It was a really mediocre and crummy year for stocks.
Here's to a better 2008.
Thank you, Scott. And maybe next year we'll talk about how much money we all made.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.